Good evening. Good afternoon. Good afternoon from Los Angeles. Ladies, gentlemen, people, fuck. I am Holiday Kirk of the New Metal Agenda, and you are joining me as always. Joining me as usual are my colleagues, Cranfather.
Hey, everybody.
Riviera.
Hey.
Returning superstar, special celebrity guest, Matt Kelly, everybody.
Woo!
Great to have you on, Matt Kelly. The new track, by the way, Everybody's Enemy, awesome. I just saw go past six figures, right? 130,000 on YouTube?
Yes, sir.
Easy money. Oh, it's good shit. It's good shit. Always stuck in my head. I'm excited for you about that. And I'm also excited to talk about an album that I thought only I knew about. But the set the scene for you people. Mad Kelly was on the Brand Spanking New Metal Show, my live streaming show, a couple months ago. And we just tangented off about his Christian rap career. And he'd agreed. He said, I will come on the show. I'll come on the podcast and I will play you some of my Christian rap right now. And that is what he's going to do for us. Right now. No? Okay.
No.
But we did click on the sense of we were raised. I'm assuming we're both raised in like the Christian church, the Protestant church.
I was in the Baptist.
How long were your church services?
It would be like an hour, but like
right. That's the denomination. That's like when I try to explain to people like what denomination I was a part of, I was the 45-minute church service denomination.
Okay, did you have the split service where it was the like 9 a.m. was the normal hymns and then 11 you had the youth band?
Ooh.
You guys had bands?
We had bands. No, we had like rock bands.
We got lore.
See, I was Catholic, so we had guilt.
Okay, so Kelly, let me ask you about this. Did you ever sleep over at a friend's house and then have to go to like the Catholic church that Sunday? You never had to do that?
That was the worst.
You'd be in there, it would be like 3 hours go by. There's no guitar. There's no rock.
Yeah. He's not lying. It's awful.
My best friends had a Catholic wedding, and I was like, you say the Lord's Prayer wrong. I'm so thrown off. The rhythm is so off. So long. No guitars, yeah.
No, definitely. No, I was definitely a part of the cool church. Bounce riffs, one of the cool churches.
Not me.
But we were raised in the church. I was definitely raised to be very musically conservative, and we got what we could when we could get it. We were lucky enough, though, that we were all young in a time in which Christian rock music, contemporary Christian rock music, was like becoming big business. DC Talk had gone double platinum. POD Satellite went triple platinum. MXPX went gold. There were just bands were actually moving units. It was becoming a market. And I think a lot about why that happened and how that happened. And what I've settled upon is I think it was like you had this incredible despair of the grunge movement, right? Like kind of seeding ground to new metal. And suddenly it was like you could do rapping and you could do all this other cornball stuff. And Christians were the cornballist.
Yep.
And I think that we had like a window to really slide in there and suddenly be doing some youth group stuff.
There is actually like a reason, which is that church membership was falling and has always been falling. There's this like myth of there being an upswing in young people like finding religion after 9/11. Didn't happen.
Columbine.
Columbine. I think there was a little bit more of it, but not much. It gets folded into the mythology of like, you know, oh, we're, you know, regaining ground, like we're becoming this more spiritually minded country, whatever. But it's not true. And it was a very intentional move on the part of many denominations to take a more, I mean, truly liberal, liberal might be the wrong word, but a different view towards.
Less conservative?
It's a different kind of conservative.
No, I understand where she's
going. Because what's happening
is. With this.
It's not that they are liberalizing their views towards music. What's actually happening is that they are saying, well, you can have rock and roll in the way that is like gross and sexual and fallen and deviant, but we're taking some of it back and we're folding it back into like what we consider our domain from music. So it's an expansion of what is considered part of the like in culture in that particular moment rather than
The crazy thing about Christian music and making Christian music, and why most of it, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this, most of it is quite bad, is it's really hard to be an artist when you're going into it and you just have this huge list of things you cannot say, you cannot talk about. Like, that's the starting point. Before you've picked up a guitar or a microphone, before you've written anything, it's like, here's a list of things you can't say. You can't swear, can't talk about sex, can't do anything resembling blasphemy. And I think that's why so many of these songs, because where me and Matt Kelly really clicked is we both had this compilation album called X2003 Experience the Alternative, which is just a collection of different like alternative rock, new metal, rap, Christian music on it was a double disc record. I was going through it before we got on this call. A lot of this stuff is not good. A lot of this stuff is not good. All, like they don't know. There's just not that many things you can sing about. So if you're not directly singing about like how much you love Jesus, so many of these songs are just like, it's a Friday night and I'm feeling good. Gonna go down to the neighborhood and have us get to bed on time and also check in with mom.
I thought you said it wasn't good.
It's not.
Well, yeah, it's not.
But like
I already had one very riv anecdote.
But it's just funny because it's like I was in such a Christian bubble in this part of my life that I literally legit remember feeling like Get This Party Started by Toby Mac was the hardest, rawest, illest shit. I was like, this is as cool as music could possibly be. And like now you listen to it and you're like, this is the wackest, lamest, dumbest thing. And I mean, that's really the new metal experience, to be clear. But it is funny because I absolutely remember being like, this is the coolest music could ever sound.
Oh yeah.
Kelly, were you in that sort of like, were you allowed to listen to some secular music, right? Like we were talking, it was your grandma got you into Korn.
It was early, it was all like clean versions and shit like that. Mm. So that was as much secular music as I could get, but it was Toby Mac and Skillet and Disciple and that 2003 compilation, 2004X.
Some of this stuff on here is good. I like the Toby Mac on the Pillar song is good. I'm 100% certain that Infected by Demon Hunter was the heaviest thing I had ever heard.
For sure.
Like, wow. I was listening before I got on. I posted it. I was like, damn, this song kind of goes. This song's pretty hard. So I know for sure that blew my young mind. I thought the Skillet song on here is pretty good. PAX 217. I like PAX 217. I don't know why. Just like listening to these young youth group kids do raga jaw toasting. For some reason, it works. I don't. It shouldn't, yeah. But it does. Then there's but a lot of stuff on here.
I'd love to do it.
There's a it lot works. Of stuff on here, though. Not good. Slick Shoes, not good. Super Chick, not good.
Okay, Justified, Super Chick has a couple good. Moments.
I knew you were going to pop out
maybe,
that one.
Yeah, here's the thing. That first album has some moments. It's a mess. But as the voice of women, I do feel like I have to defend Super Chick a little bit. Because Super Chick was also doing something different. I mean, it is very much a moment in music and like a niche of music where what is for who is very, very gendered.
Oh, what about Kelly? Do you like Reliant K?
Kind of. They're more pop punkish for me.
I think that what I noticed was that it feels like the pop punk songs held up the best because that genre is already so like juvenile and kind of innocent in and of itself.
You could talk about like a girl and not necessarily talk about a girl, and it would kind of you could be God or relationship.
Yeah.
So Sean Stevens.
So, oh no, don't do it. So pop punk like works for that reason. New metal works because new metal is just inherently corny and try hard. So I think new metal carries over really well. I don't ever want to hear Christian ska again. I don't ever want to hear ska again. But I really don't want to ever hear Christian ska again. Get the OC Supertones out of here, man. I do not. Slick Shoes, get gone. No.
Five Iron Frenzy,
get it out of here. Get it gone.
Banished.
I really want to like Thousand Foot Crutch, but a lot their stuff is bad.
Yeah, I mean, songs like Bounce was good, Move was good, but it's so like the cliche.
Super cornball.
Yeah.
To an unbelievable degree. Oh my God. We were talking about the band Falling Up, right?
Oh, I do like Falling Up.
Falling Up's curious because Falling Up came out right between like Linkin Park and Story of the Year. So they like did all these like guitar flips and like spin kicks and stuff, but they had a DJ with no DJ parts in the songs. Like they had the turntables
just for the vibe.
Like if nu metal just suddenly came back, the DJ was like, all right, I'm in. But they have a song called Jackson 5, coming at you like the Jackson 5, and it has this the most Christian rap lyric of all time, which is stay on my knees with the greatest of ease. Stay on my knees with the greatest of ease. He wrote that. He's like, yo, I'm penning right now. That's a bar.
Straight fire.
That can never be interpreted differently. That'll always be about prayer.
Perfect. What if Megan Thee Stallion wrote it?
Oh, man. They'd be different. But, I mean, this was like how I got to participate in youth culture. Like, POD Satellite, that was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band for youth group kids. That was the biggest deal ever. It's like, we got one. I think that might be like the best selling Christian rock album of all time.
Satellite,
yeah, triple.
Well, okay. Million. So here's the question though. Is POD a Christian rock band?
Of course yes. They are.
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay. That's not even a little debatable.
No. Because I was reading Christian music forums from like the early 2000s other day for fun. I have the most. This is an incredible quote from 2006. It's like quoted and the person who posted it originally deleted it. But they said in 2006, POD is not a Christian band. All caps, not. I just found this out. So I would like to let everyone know, if you read about all of the nasty, dirty and other satanic things they have and are involved in, Google POD and religion, and then
Google
click
POD
on,
black people,
and then click on POD CCM's Prophet of Deceit. It is a long and scary article about what POD has done and what they are introducing to us Christian youth. Be warned, all caps. This article will make you want to throw away your POD CDs as soon as possible, spelled out, all caps.
Listen, respect to the Christian forum kids. I'm pretty sure they'd say that about everyone at some point. They said it about me. Kelly, I know they said it about you.
Of course.
Mad Kelly is the devil leading us astray.
Hell no.
What's Jesus their reasoning? Pumped up. Wait, so do you know why they said that? Because that's ridiculous. They were like straight name. Oh, you know what though? This was a little controversial. They didn't say Jesus. They said Jah. Right? Do you remember how that was kind of not good?
I couldn't find the actual like article they were talking about. I think it's literally just that they like existed in the world.
Yeah, right. Like they went on MTV. They did stuff.
Yeah.
People would make out in their music videos and whatnot. It's like, yeah. But that's why they were. That's why they worked. That's why people liked their music. So
that was always kind of a weird thing in the Christian scene. Like once somebody broke into secular success,
they're not one of us anymore. You were lost to the world. But I don't. POD wasn't even one of those Christian bands that tried to be like, oh no, we're not really. We don't consider ourselves a Christian band. That's a real doubleheader right there. We don't consider ourselves nu metal. We don't consider ourselves a Christian band. Evanescence were fighting for their lives. They had it bad. They're like,
funny is that Flyleaf also says they're not a Christian band, which is an incredible claim to make.
Not a good band either. It should start with being
a
good
band.
What are you talking about? They have tons of good songs.
Kirk just hates women. That's what's happening.
Kirk
right
just
now.
Silences women's voices. That's what Kirk does. He likes to silence women's voices. Okay.
Literally.
The best-selling Christian album of all time, Heart in Motion, Carmen. Amy Grant.
Amy Grant, Jesus Christ.
5 platinum, 5 million, baby. POD Satellite tied with Kirk Franklin's God's Property from Kirk Franklin New Nation. So now I gotta go check that out.
You want a revolution? Woo, woo.
Is that what that is? Triple platinum. Also on here is How to Save a Life by The Fray, who are
they
not
were at that. No, they were.
That's the easiest thing.
And they
thing
were
to
with that album.
I'm not gonna fight that. I didn't have a parental advisory on or anything. Okay.
He's singing in place of Jesus. I know how to save a life.
Hey.
They found God.
Why is Blurry Face by 21 Pilots on here? Is that a Christian band?
I think is, and I think that's
they're
why they
not
sound like
a Christian band, but they grew up conservative Christian.
Okay, yeah, many such cases.
They're also really bad. Terrible band.
They're so bad.
Oh,
there's not even 21 of them.
I feel like in our journeys as white people, we've all known someone that does not play about 21 Pilots. Like we've all met that guy the coworker or the classmate that does not play about 21 Pilots.
Yeah, I
had someone try. I remember being at work at FedEx, having a coworker being showing me a video on his phone. It's like, look, you do a dubstep remix of this, this old blues rock song. And I was like, this is terrible. It's like, no, it isn't. Shut up.
And they always get so mad. What I think we should start doing? I think we should start saying that Sleep Token is a Christian rock band.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think this is the best idea.
So listen, I made a little Instagram clip of me and Kelly talking about Christian music on the show. And I sent it to him before I posted it because I was a little worried that if I was to post that, people would start digging up your Christian rap. People would be like, oh, it's out there, huh?
No one's going to find it. I mean, they could probably find it, but I'd encourage everyone.
He's like, okay, they might, but don't. Please don't find it.
Yeah. You have my solemn word. I'm not going to look for any
Yours or otherwise. What would Mad Kelly's Christian rapper name be?
It was... I'm not even going to say it because I don't want to be... You almost caught me there.
Oh, yeah! I almost got you! You weren't even about to say it! I'm just typing it right there. Mad Cross Kelly. Happy Kelly. Would it be something
like
that?
It was Joyful 21 Kelly. Pilots.
Joyful Kelly.
Yo, do you remember that Joyful Noise Christian rap song with Lecrae?
That was past my time.
It was like the first like rap rock type of shit that I heard.
Are we the same age? Are we both 30, 31?
No, I'm 27.
Really?
Okay, yeah, so we're the same age.
Oh, crazy. So you actually arrived to this music kind of late. Because like when I got X Experience the Alternative, it had just came out. And I wore that sucker out on that Florida vacation trip. Like
this is why we agree about Super Chick and you're not Super Chick, Flyleaf, and you're wrong.
Because I'm old.
Yeah. If it wasn't important to you when you were 13, it's gonna hit different.
Right.
Did you listen to Zoe Girl or Barlow Girl?
Yeah.
You said
Isn't Barlow Girl the band with that song about how all women are sluts except us? Oh, it's like probably. They have a song where it's like you can be born again if you've lost your virginity.
Yeah.
Right?
I have some thoughts about purity culture and music that probably.
You know what though? You make a good point though, where it's like Flyleaf was important to you at 13. I should be like the number one POD defender. That album is garbage. Satellite?
Oh, I think
falls
that
off
fun.
So hard after.
That's true.
You hit the children's choir and Youth of the Nation, and it just goes to shit. There's so many of those songs on there are just terrible. Like Ridiculous is awful. Thinking About Forever is awful. No, it's bad. Without Jah, Nothing is not good. I should be the number one POD Satellite defender, and I do not like that album. I think that I think that Set It Off is great. I think that Alive is great. I think that Boom is great. It's a couple good deep cuts. The Messenger is a good deep cut. Masterpiece Conspiracy, good deep cut. But most of that record is not it. And I know Cranfather, you don't like it at all.
It's not perfect. I'm not a huge POD fan. I bought the Fundamental Elements of Southtown the day it came out because I'm turning 100 next week. And I listened to it. And my friend that I talked to music about all the time in high school, I was like, listen, I don't know how to bring this up, but I think this might be a Christian album. He goes, yeah, it is. Never listened to it after that.
It's also really
I was
bad.
In my Edgelord phase by then. So
that album is just a straight up brick. Like, does anyone want to go to bat for Fundamental Elements? Because I've listened to it.
That
all
very
the
first
through.
Single's really good still.
Southtown's so good.
Yeah, Southtown's a good song.
That riff goes so hard. The screaming part kicks ass. It's still one of the best nu metal screamy parts.
Oh, and you know
the rest of it, I couldn't tell you the song name.
Also, Rock the Party Off the Hook has the lyric, "We came here to rock this jam and spread his love." That's the master plan. Which is another one of the most Christian ever.
That part ruined the entire song.
That part is so great.
Early on, when you're
spread his love, that's the master plan.
Before the account blew up, you had a still of somebody's face looking disappointed. You're like, this is my face once I found out I got on the Jesus bus.
Oh, yeah, because they're on the party bus.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what did he just, dang. Wait, so then Cranfather, did you like any of this like Christian rock, Christian new metal stuff coming around?
See, it's, musically now I can come around to appreciate it, but at the time, like I said, I was, you know, trying to piss off the squares, as they say. So I was like, oh, this is Christianity stuff. I can't get down with this. Where's the inverted crosses? Where's the naked women?
Couple of albums from this era though that I think are genuinely good. Silence by Blindside. That album kicks ass.
Amazing album. Amazing.
Really good. I cannot believe that these Swedish twinks were like, let's just be Refused but Christian, and they fucking made that shit beat. That's the only thing they did. They took Refused, ripped them off, and made Christian music out of it, and it's awesome. So pretty that's much. That's a good record. I think that Drawing Black Lines by Project 86 is really good. And I think that...
That's a Christian album?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was like the major label contingency of like new metal hardcore breakthrough bands was POD, Blindside, Project 86. Like all three of those guys were the homies touring with each other, putting each other on. And they were supposed to all three be pretty big breakthroughs, but only POD really got there. I like... that PAX 217 album. I think it's called 217. That's the corniest album ever. But the playing is really good. The production is super good.
Musically is on top.
Harmonies are tight. Yeah. So I like that album too. But most of this other stuff doesn't hold up for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think... There's also the question of, I mean, so many of these bands who are like, they're all Christians. They learned how to play music like in church, and they're all making music together, and it's not really Christian music, but it also definitely is, or it is at least like colored by that.
Yeah.
Because
it's another one of those things where it's like, you can't, sure, you can be heavy. You can't be that heavy. You can be heavy, but you can't be that heavy. Like, there are just doors that close to you in the Christian music world if you start doing certain things. Like, remember when DC Talk did the Jesus Freak video with the Nine Inch Nails music video director guy? That was a big deal. No. Oh, that would have been so cool. No. They did not have the budget for Mark Romantic at the time. But
that would have been sick if they did.
But that song was, like, controversial. It's also a great song. I really like the song Jesus Freak by DC Talk. That's a good song. And new metal would end up sounding like that anyway. So, but I really do, you know, I'm really fascinated by Christian music and just what you can accomplish when you're defined more by what you're not allowed to talk about than what you are allowed to talk about. Because it's that's a tough beat.
This was my other little setup tangent. The real riv hour, the real riv take is that like there's so much edginess that you're excluded from, but there's also like the one way in which you are allowed to be edgy is particularly in this moment of Christian martyrdom of like early 2000. Sorry, I've spoiled it. In this moment of Christian music of the early 2000s, you are allowed to play into this like fetishization of youth martyrdom.
It was really self-destruction,
but it was really,
a really consistent topic of it's like, yo, dying for Jesus, literally dying for Jesus,
literally dying. That's allowed. You're allowed to dream about wanting to die for Jesus. There's also, I mean, again, there is like a
that's
very
like so much worse than hearing a rapper talk about sex. So
absolutely.
Much worse. Like you dying for Jesus would be awesome. You'd live forever in his kingdom by his side. You'd be immortalized on earth as a martyr. You should do that. I read a lot of literature about how great that would be.
Yeah. Did you read, what's the one? Is Left Behind too evangelical for you?
Oh, I definitely read. Oh my God. I read the kid versions of Left Behind.
Yeah.
I watched the Kirk Cameron movie.
All of the movies.
I never watched the version. Movies, but...
What'd you say, grandfather?
The Kirk Cameron version of Left Behind, where there's a guy on a plane who ends up as one of the Left Behind people because he accidentally looked at a stewardess's butt when she walked by.
Are you serious?
And it was too covetous for
that
the Lord,
it?
I guess.
God
that's
was like,
so crazy.
Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ was just about to take everyone back. And he's like, I saw that. You're out.
But see, that's so crazy because the line we would have gotten would have been that it was her fault.
Yeah.
Acting was a stumbling block.
So it was her fault for having an ass and his fault for seeing it.
Isn't it always?
The Left Behind series is so fucked up.
They're fucked up.
Super messed up. And I think that's a real precursor to like modern Christian politics. Cause the reading those books, you're not like urged on to be a better person. You're left to like revel in how bad it's going to be for everyone when you leave and you go to heaven.
Yeah.
Right. How bad it's going to be for everyone.
We were right.
Yeah. It's more about I'm right.
Right.
It's also like fully crazy to me how many like female fronted Christian rock bands made songs very explicitly about eating disorders. That was another like avenue of allowed edginess. You weren't allowed to talk about smoking or drinking. You were allowed to talk about eating disorders.
What do you think is the connection there?
This is why I think bands like Under Oath, though, age the best, because Under Oath made music about how life is hard and we struggle with things and we're all, you know, we're culpable, we have failings, we fail in different ways, but we're also a Christian band. I remember it being like a topic of contention as to like, is it okay to listen to bands like Under Oath? And it's like, that's the most compelling Christian music, is when you can acknowledge like Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, believe in Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but still a human, still gonna mess up, still gonna fail. The worst bands were the ones that were just like, everything's awesome. Like the Newsboys, everything's great forever. Yeah.
I'll just hide my Newsboys tattoo.
Oh yeah, you know what'd be funny? If you had a Newsboys tattoo, but you weren't Christian, there's gotta be someone out there.
Oh, there's gotta be.
That just likes Newsboys. the music's good. Are they Christian? They're Christian?
I just think they're good.
Are they?
Well, how about that?
Well, I'll be. I gotta look up the Left Behind.
Son of a gun.
I gotta look up the Left Behind plot points for. Wow, there's so many of these. The Rising, the Regime, the Rapture, Tribulation Force.
Two Left, Two Behind.
Force. Soul Harvest, Assassins.
Nicolas Cage in it.
That's a very recent remake. That was like within the past 5 years.
Oh, okay. Because there's also Knowing, which is like similar, but I don't think it's explicitly Left Behind, but it is kind of the same. And Nicolas Cage is in it.
It is just crazy. This is just crazy to reflect on, because that's literally what all these books were about, was about being like how good it's going to feel to know you were right. Haha. In your face.
Well, and there's so many. And it was such a message through everything. I was thinking about the Chicken Soup for the Soul books relatively recently, and how many of those are about like, of the little stories in those are just like, well, if you die in the right way, it's good actually. And like, won't that be so cool?
That was in the Chicken Soup books? I don't remember those
books. It's not as explicit, but the selection of stories and like, it's very much set up to be this like heightened emotional state and the state of like, this selection of stories that are meant to be, you know, emotionally hard-hitting and moving, and so many times it's like,
you got to hear this, hold on, you got to hear this quote. Mm-hmm. This quote needs to be heard right now. Jerry Falwell said about the first Left Behind book, it's the second greatest book on Christianity ever written after the Bible.
Yep.
Holy shit.
He's like, that's my ranking. Bible, Left Behind. Boom. Man, yeah, it's just crazy to me though, like how much culture there was around it. When did this era end? Do you guys know when this era actually ended?
2010. Like,
has it ended?
Yeah. No, now it's so done, and it is because of Hillsong. There's no longer like worship music with guitars in it, or I guess electric guitars. It's all the like Hillsong singer songwriter.
Oh my god, that's right. The like Justin Bieber church stuff. Mm-hmm. They just eaten the whole culture alive now.
Yeah, I mean, they have for a while. If you look at like contemporary Christian charts over the past, I guess like 15 years, it's been increasingly dominated by Hillsong. And then there's another mega church that's like up there with them. But they just churn out like easy listening Christian contemporary hits that kind of split the difference between. It's more in the like Coldplay fake music vein rather than new metal.
Imagine Dragons Jesus versions.
Well, Imagine Dragons are so interesting because they're ex-Mormon.
Are they?
Like, They sure so are the killers.
The killers. I was just going to say Brandon Flowers.
Well, I don't know if they're, are they ex-Mormon or are they,
I think he's Mormon.
Okay.
Well, I think that, well, I would say partially, yeah, is like the Hillsongification of it, but also just, it's just so, Christianity is just crazy political now. And I think it's really hard to be a member of the church now and not know how much evil is being perpetrated, like, in the name of Christianity. I remember being a kid in youth group and, like, talking to my youth group pastor and being like, yo, all this gay marriage stuff, I feel like we should make a statement, like, how we're okay with gay people and we're accepting a gay marriage. And he was just like, no. He was like, that is not happening. Don't say that ever again. And I was like so weirded out by that. I was like, why? It's the right thing to do. That's what we should be doing. And it was like, no, that's not.
It literally says in the Bible, come as you are. And they look over it.
Right. Yeah. I think it's just, you talk about like church membership falling. I know that that was where I like left the church, was when it became clear. It was like, wow, you can't be gay here. Like they'll say you can, but you can't.
Yeah. I don't know. Where I grew up is very liberal. And I was also weird in that, like, I just had no friends. So I became a church kid. Like, it wasn't really a family thing.
That happens. That's how that happens.
Happens to the best of us.
Every Wednesday night.
Yep. It was Wednesday night.
Was it Wednesdays for all of us?
Yes. Wednesday night.
How did they give? We used to raise hell. We would get in my car and we would do donuts and like cruise the neighborhoods and stuff. We were out of control. They should not have been letting us go to that church on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, no,
we'd break into the basement. We'd go through all the rooms and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was trouble.
Oh my God.
We would play.
It wasn't like, we didn't like bust a lock or anything. You just had to know how to open the
door. Set up the air hockey table. Right.
It's like you got the code from having to do Easter breakfast or something.
Yeah. You knew how to get down there.
Yeah.
That was a big part of it, was just having a community, That's why I think in like the wake of Columbine, people are like, oh, the kids are coming back to the church. And it was like, actually, the kids just kind of need somewhere to be right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. It's hard. Where was I going to go with this? Oh, so my church was like chill and normal. And we did make a little statement that you were allowed to be gay in our youth group. But then did you guys ever go to the, like, the regional retreat type things? The like weekend things?
Indoor water park stuffs? Yeah. Oh, big time.
Oh, we never went that fun.
You went to an indoor water park?
Well, we did like winter ones. So we would go tubing. I mean, I think we did go to an indoor water park.
Hi, Kelly. Did you do any of the church retreats?
It was everything was at the church. It would be like on Saturday night at like 7, you pull up to
those were fun too, though. Those could be fun too.
Do the lock-ins?
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys have to do the 30-hour famine? Do you remember that?
Ooh,
it sounds familiar, but I didn't do this. I didn't do this.
Oh, it was like this bizarre, you know, raise awareness about starving children around the world. Something like do a fast for 30 hours, and there's like a weird, I don't know. There's weird money behind it. I looked into it once, but it was just like you do an overnight in the church and you don't eat anything.
Yep. I remember
our,
that.
Our church lock-in
like delusional. I think we watched The Exorcist at like 2 a.m. during that.
What?
Of course we did. Don't worry about it.
Like, well, in the church? Like,
yeah.
How'd you do that?
Someone brought a DVD.
Wow. Okay. Was that sanctioned by the church leaders?
I don't think not by the church leaders, but I think our youth group leader was just, she was very chill. She was just like, whatever.
Okay. Here's one for the kids in the room. Whose first sexual experience was at church during like a youth group night?
At the church? No.
Oh, that was the, that was the spot.
Matt Kelly's got two fingers up. I saw it.
Same. Craziness. Same.
It's like literally like a place for all the worst things possible. And it's like supposed to be like a hospital for like, people.
Listen, I didn't go that far. I wouldn't call it the worst thing possible, but it definitely was like the first kiss, the first this, the first that, all happening in the church. So
it was practice for Cornerstone.
There was a lot of stairwells. You know what I mean? If you're the type of church where we had the right type of church, there were just stairwells all over the place. It was really hard to keep track of every stairwell. You get where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
A lot of sin, man. A lot of debauchery at these youth groups.
You all are getting left behind, man.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Oh. If that's all it takes.
So, yeah.
You know what's funny though is that if you're being serious, if all it takes is to like look at a woman that way and you're not getting raptured, the rapture would have happened and no one would have gone anywhere.
Yeah, like who's it actually gonna take? It's like monks that don't look at any human beings ever and are like solid.
Who sets these rules? Who sets these
Kirk
rules?
Kirk Cameron.
You gotta admit too, if they raptured all the born again Christians, we'd probably figure a lot of things out in the world pretty quick.
Oh, for sure.
Half of Congress would be gone. All of Congress maybe would be gone. President's gone. Bunch of presidents are gone.
The president is Catholic.
Oh, great. Okay, so we wouldn't lose the president.
See, Catholic I stopped going to church when I was like 7. And my experience really? Was you had to memorize Bible verses to get packs of gum. So
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. So there's like a, I think it's a TikTok, but that's like I thought I was really religious as a kid, but turns out I went to a One Direction concert and turns out I just really like live music. Me and also I was very much like that about like analyzing a text. Turns out I just wanted to be a dweeb and read big books.
Right. Yeah, we were all dweebs. My church, I went to a really cool church. The church service was 45 minutes. The youth groups were chill. I don't have any like traumatic church stories of anything. It was a good time. I liked my church.
But I got my youth group 45 minutes.
I got my youth group uninvited from one of those like regional retreat things because I was wearing Linkin Park shirts and I was like too edgy and too into new metal.
Linkin Park, basically a Christian.
I also picked fights. So there was that, but
Linkin Park were another big deal.
I got accused by the other girls of like being satanic.
Nice. Linkin Park, another one. It was like almost a Christian band. So the lyrical themes and the lack of any swears whatsoever is another big deal for the Christian community.
They were never one that I thought was like folded into it. Breaking Benjamin, I always thought was a Christian band.
Yeah, but those songs could be about freaking anything. That man's pen, that dude was just writing. You could have made those lyrics about anything. Oh, but there are swears in there. You can't.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just like Breaking Benjamin was very formative to my youth group experience.
Kelly, did you like your church?
I liked getting out of the house, I feel, at that time. I mean, I was a super on fire Christian at the time, but I didn't really know what the fuck I was doing. It was just, you know, I got baptized like 3 times just because I wanted to.
You just kept going back for more.
Yeah,
it felt communal. Like,
yeah, like all my friends would go and get baptized and be like, "Oh wait, I want to go again." Like it didn't do anything. Like I got rewarded after my first baptism, so I was like, "Oh."
Once he was on baptism 3, it was like, "Okay, you gotta stop."
No, my pastor, he's like, "This is your 3rd baptism." I'm like, yeah, he's like, I think you're good on this last one. I'm like, all right.
You're covered. You're good Fine. To go now. You're good to go now. When did you guys like stop going to church? When was it over for you? Grandfather was at 7. Grandfather was way ahead of it. Grandfather was an old man already.
I went back as an adult a few times, but to support people who wanted to go to church. Like my brother-in-law decided he was going to try to preach for a little while. So I wanted to go support him because I love him.
Was he good at it?
He was very good.
He was terrible.
No, he was fantastic because he's already a good public speaker because he used to talk on the mic. He's a professional wrestler too.
Okay.
So he could bring those two worlds together, being able to, you know, speak to people like an adult and, you know, preach the word. So
I feel like it would have been like
That's
my
not
junior...
like an adult. It's like a TED talk.
I feel like it would have been like my junior or senior year of high school. My parents were like, all right, you don't have to go. You don't have to go to church anymore. It was always like church on Sundays required for a really long time. And then one day it just was like, okay, if you don't want to, you don't go to church, you don't go to church.
Yeah. That was like when I turned like 18, I'd say like 19, I was fully not a Christian, face tattooed, listening to whatever, smoking weed. But like,
have you formally renounced your faith?
I do not believe in it whatsoever. No.
Wow.
I think it's borderline abuse to put a child through that and like tell them, because my dad was like a strong not Christian, so like I just grew up every single day like in fear that one day he will just be burning alive and I'll never see him ever again. And I just remember every single day thinking about that, and that's awful for a child to have to think about every single day as our father. And I would go to him like an idiot, be like, please, why won't you just be a Christian? Shit like that. So I believe it's like toxic for the mind to have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I always struggled with the he's always watching you part. That was the part that really freaked me out, was that he's just always watching you, always seeing
watching
you.
He knows everything, every hair on your head, he knows the number of. But I was like, what's the point of praying at that point if he like already knows everything? Then like, why am I asking him for shit praying? There's no point.
But I hung in there for a long time. I think all the way through like most of high school, probably till like my senior year. I was pretty.
Was it because of like you were scared to like go to hell yourself? Is that what kept? Because I was like, I had to let that go of being scared of just, I might be wrong.
Oh, buddy, I am still scared of going to hell. I have never formally renounced my religion. I never will. I'm too deep into for that. But I think I just fit in with the church. I got along with the church.
Right.
Generally had a good relationship with the church. It wasn't until like I started wanting to have sex with people and having different ideas about sexuality in general. Like at the time, being 31 now, at the time, the big issue in high school, in my high school years from like 2009, 2012, was gay marriage, gay people being allowed to get married. It was illegal. And my parents were very homophobic. The church is just naturally homophobic. No matter how cool a church is, there's homophobia inside.
The bottom line is still, it's not accepted, even if they say it is.
And
but it's never the same.
And I'd go to like Gay Straight Alliance school and stuff. And that just started to push me out of the church because it became more and more clear, like, wow, these friends of mine are not welcome here. This is like not okay. Like you could never go to church and like kiss your boyfriend or hold your boyfriend's hand or something. That would be a problem. So just over time, I got pushed out of it. Riv's still in it. Riv's in church right now.
Oh my God. I had a very similar path, but I think a little bit faster. I think I guess my freshman year of high school, I would still like go to youth group. I was in youth band. I played bass in our like cool band. Do I know how to play bass? No. Did I then? No.
Wow.
It was fine.
Drums.
Nobody in a Christian band knows how to play bass. It's okay.
It was fine. I would learn whatever, like I could learn what it was that I had to play for whatever song, but like there was no continuity. But yeah, I don't know. I think I kept going for like Easter and maybe like one or two event, like Easter and like the youth group, like special service, probably through high school, but not really going. I mean, a lot of the same reasons. I also was like in love with Lacey from Flyleaf, and that was like,
which you were not supposed to be.
Which,
no, she wrote songs about that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. No, she,
allegedly. Right?
I know the purity teens love to throw that in your face, but
and like that's not really what it's about, but it also is like very easy to project that onto it, particularly as someone who is like feeling very similar things. It is, I mean, kind of ironic to be like, oh well, this is why I left the church. It's because of the song, which is meant to be about everything but that.
I'm trying to think of how much quicker I might have left the church if Christians weren't just dropping bangers. Like I'm looking right now, if Switchfoot had to drop Meant to Live in January 2003, would I have gotten out of the church sooner?
That song does rip.
That shit goes hard. I had to stick around. Like we had the juice. We were killing it for a while there.
That's a very good chorus. It's hooky as hell.
Great chorus, great riff. It was a huge hit. It was a huge hit single. Yeah. Like, man, Christians had like their foot in the door when it came to like actual mainstream popularity for a while. I think that's really a big thing that you cannot communicate to younger people, is that like not only were Christian rock artists, Christian music groups occasionally quite good, they were also really famous. They were selling millions of copies. They were touring the whole world. That's done.
So okay, so I found the perfect article, I don't know, 20 minutes before we hopped on. So I just skimmed it, which was heartbreaking. But hold this quote, there's this stat from it, which was that in 2001, Christian music, like explicitly Christian music released as, was 7% of music sales in the US, which,
wow,
they were still selling records in 2001. That's crazy. Outsold, or So what I don't know is if when they say it, so, and they also say it outsells the all jazz and classical music records combined. I don't know if that is in 2001 or if that is in 2016 when this article was published, or like, I think the person they're quoting wrote something in like 2008. So I don't know where in that it is, but like all of jazz and classical being outsold by Christian music. I mean, it's a big market share.
And I'm trying to figure out when it formally fell off. Cause I remember Under Oath dropping Define the Great Line and just like the post-hardcore scene being like, oh, this is a actually great album. Uh-oh, this is unfortunate. And then Flyleaf were a huge deal. I guess it was, I mean, really it was as long as like rock music was staying strong, as long as rock music had a direction. Once that ended, what do you got, like, yeah. Christian dubstep? What? Christian rap does not work. Okay, I don't think you can do Christian rap. There's too many words and you run out of stuff to talk about. You ever listen to like NF or Lecrae? That stuff is horrible.
It's all about like, it's like self-hatred in a way.
Just yeah, the NF stuff is like that for real. Every song is about how he's just the worst, but he's just a failure. He's the worst person ever. Oh God, forgive me. Every song.
Lecrae was all like, yo, I can't even say like fuck chains, fuck money, because they didn't even say fuck money or anything. They're like,
my name's Lecrae, and I'm here to say Jesus loves you in a hip hop way. That's what that all sounds like.
Do you remember the Christian side hug song?
No, I don't know if I want to.
No, you don't.
The what?
Just frightening. Don't worry about it. We're going to overturn something here, and it's going to be like, oh, no.
No purple. Is that like a no purple thing?
Oh, my God.
No purple.
Yes. It is exactly like that.
What is that?
It's
okay. So
there you got it.
Boys are blue and girls are red. And together, they make purple. No purple.
Ah. I'm glad I didn't hear that. That might have chased me out of the church right there. I'm trying to figure out. I'm still trying to go through this calculus here. Stacey Orico at bangers. Stacey Orico has some hits. There's got to be more to life. And chasing down every temporary heart. That song goes.
When I first started dating my wife, she was really into Jars of Clay, and I took her to see them.
Ooh, Jars of Clay got some bangers.
I want to fall in love with
not
you.
Not that. But if I can swim after 40 days, that song is great.
Lift me up.
That's a great song.
She was really into Reliant K too, and one of her cousins was in a band that played Cornerstone every single year. That's how I know about that debauchery fest.
What? We need to find someone that got lost their virginity at Cornerstone Festival. It's got to be hundreds.
Oh my god, so many.
If you went to Cornerstone as a virgin, you did not come back as a virgin.
you had to fall on your knees and pray right there after, though. That was the problem with like sexuality in the church, is you gain ground in sexuality, and then you would immediately feel horrible about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was kind of hot. That was kind of hot.
That was awesome. Like, why do I want to cry?
There is kind of like a guilt pathology that stays with you.
Mm.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. I'm glad that Matt Kelly made it out. Riv, have you ever formally renounced your faith?
I think so.
That's a no.
Actually, I think I might. What I'm trying to, I mean, I like have internally, I'm trying to think if they still have a name tag with my name on it at the church. And I think they do.
You guys
I don't think I ever told them. Did you do confirmation class?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Did you guys ever watch PAX TV?
PAX TV, that used to be what was on at the gym.
Really?
They had Mad TV did a really good, it was The Sopranos on PAX. And it aired familiar. From 12 to 12:04 because it was all censored.
I can't like find any evidence of it. PAX TV had a music video channel, like a side channel that only showed Christian music videos. And it's kind of cool. Yeah.
We had like a video series that I think it was called Common Ground. It was like, you know, little skits in a like set in a cafe, and then they would have music videos. I have not been able to find that. It turns out Common Ground is like a really normal thing.
And because I don't think there will be another podcast episode anytime soon where I get to say this, justice for Kevin Max of DC Talk, his solo career was pretty lit. Got totally thrown under the bus. Everyone listed Michael Tate. Toby Mac. Kevin Max was fire.
His band was just Tate, right?
Tate. Yeah, it was just Tate. You were, man, it must have been really tough to be in DC Talk at like the height of their fame, because all three of those guys are good looking dudes and they were the most famous Christian band on the planet. Like, that had to have been tough.
Yeah.
I got three words for you. Non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, you think so? You think they were passing it? No.
1,000%.
Oh, I don't even think you'd have to do that.
No. No.
You just guilt
the DC Talk groupies. This is a horrible.
You're going to hell if you tell anybody about this.
This is a horrible train of thought.
Cran, this is important to parse out. It's not that you're going to hell if you tell anyone about this. It's how could you do this to me? How could you tell me it's your fault?
Exactly. The Roethlisberger defense.
Mm-hmm. It is crazy. Some of those phrases just like rattle around in my brain. I'm like, oh, it's crazy how something that like some youth pastor given a TED talk told me 15 years ago comes up every once in a while.
That was another reason why I could hang in there with the church for so long. I was 6 foot, white, blonde hair, blue eyed. I was fine. I got the best of everything. Really, the church mostly existed to tell me how awesome I was and how I deserve the kingdom of heaven.
That's so true.
Everything is my mandate, how everything is my right to inherit. Kelly, when did you get your first tattoo? Were you still in the church?
I got my first tattoo at like official tattoo at like 18. So like right when I was allowed to. And then I got my first face tattoo at 19. So
was that okay?
I had been like kind of left the church.
Oh yeah, you were out. That's right.
When I was like face tattoo era, like my first face tattoo is when I was like out of the church. But like 18, I got like religious tattoos. You know, Trip Lee, like he's part of Lecrae's group.
No, I don't.
116. I got the Rise album tattooed. I think I've covered every religious tattoo, honestly, except for that one.
How do you feel about it now?
The tattoo or the I'll cover it. I'm not really like too attached to tattoos like that. Like I'll cover whatever and blast over whatever, and it don't really matter.
I was a very good kid. Did you guys ever read the magazine Plugged In?
I think I did.
Plugged In was a Focus on the Family magazine where they would talk about lyrical content of albums and songs and movies and video games.
You posted clips from that.
Oh, yes. No, I didn't. But I would read Common Sense Media, which claims not to be Christian, but they're liars.
Plugged In was like the media watchdog arm of the Focus on the Family.
I remember I couldn't watch movies unless my mom went on Plugged In and looked up the sexual content, language content, violence content. And then
violence mostly fine, by the way. It was always the sexual stuff in the language that was bad. But yeah, I would read those myself and like monitor what I was and wasn't allowed to listen to. I do that. That was like my Rolling Stone.
You do love having a cop in your head.
Hey, I don't know. Listen, I didn't put it there. Someone put it there for me. But what was crazy is like the ultimate taboo movie at the time was The Matrix. It was like, you're not allowed to see The Matrix, the most violent movie ever made. You can't see The Matrix. And then you get a little old, you do see The Matrix. You're like, this is nothing.
The Matrix is literally,
there are PG-13 movies way worse than this.
Like, The Matrix is about being trans, but it's also like about being Jesus.
It was part of the spiritual themes were a part of why you were not allowed to watch The Matrix, you know, granted, but it definitely wasn't as violent as it was hyped up to be. It was almost disappointing how not as violent as I thought it was going to be.
The Passion of the Christ is the most hardcore.
Were you allowed to see the Passion of the Christ, you had to see the Passion of the Christ.
Did you? Yeah, okay. I have this like vivid memory of during confirmation class, they made us go to like different types of religious services. And one of the ones we went to was like a big mega church. And they had like a full passion play. It was like a random Sunday. They had a dude like while the worship band is playing, like a dude up there on like a little cross set, just
really
dying. Yeah, on just like a normal Saturday.
Seems like a bit much.
Crazy. There was also a Starbucks in this church.
Oh my god, a Starbucks!
I found the dichotomy alarming.
We had a coffee shop. We didn't have a Starbucks.
We didn't have a shop. We had little old lady volunteers who made coffee for coffee hour because we weren't normal.
Wow. You had a literal Starbucks, like a branded Starbucks?
I didn't, but this church did.
Oh, the mega church did. Got it.
Yeah, it's like one of the biggest churches in Michigan. It's really unsettling.
I hate mega churches.
Wait, what church in Michigan?
I can't remember. I'm gonna look it up. I can't quite remember what it was called, but
it's the one with the Starbucks on the inside.
Let me rattle down a couple more Christian myths to see if there's any takers. Anyone ever here listen to embodiment?
No, sir.
No embodiment. No. Hospital?
Northridge was the church.
But I was in I went to Rochester Hills Church of Christ and Rochester Hills Baptist Church.
Oh, real shit.
Yeah, that's, Michigan.
That's crazy.
Let's see if it's still there. Let me see if it's still there. Naperville Community Christian Church. It's still there. Still there. They built that. They built a whole nother wing on that thing. I'm really, really thankful that I got out of the church before like the Donald Trump era. That had to be traumatic. To be in church about it. I would read stories about people being like angry about vaccine mandates at their church and stuff. Like really mad. Mask mandates and stuff. Woo! Glad I missed that era.
The church I was supposed to go to was St. Francis, which was a Catholic church, and they had an English service at 9 o'clock and then a Spanish service at 11:30. And my grandmother stayed for both every single Sunday.
Saved them both?
She stayed
for both. Okay.
She'd be at church from 9 until like 2:30 in the afternoon.
Google mapping. I'm Google Street viewing my old church. I forgot how spread out everything is in the suburbs. Why is Naperville so far apart? Yeah, Naperville.
That's way up north.
Okay.
We have money. Why do we have so much money? Why is this so much bigger than it used to be? This looks like a college campus now. Was there not something better we could be spending this on? Jeez.
Not in Naperville.
No, I guess not. Had to maintain the facilities. Naperville was all about that. Anyway, guys, let's bring it on home. Christian new metal, Christian rap, Christian music, not that good.
Solid,
very
Yeah, I mean, I think if they're gonna come out and say like this is Christian music, not just we are Christians making music, there's only so good it can be.
But I do think that the stuff that works is compelling. Like I said, Blindside's fucking good. Project 86 really good. POD's absolutely got some songs. We all have soft spots for bands, or me and Kelly, we have real soft spots for bands like Falling Up and Past 217, Toby Mac. And it's just, it's like a lot of the new metal stuff. It's a really interesting moment in time where you could make songs like this, sing explicitly about Jesus and go on Conan O'Brien, go platinum, tour the world, headline Cornerstones. Just what a time. What can you say? What a time. I'll tell you what, I'll take the worst Christian new metal band over Hillsong Worship any day. Oh, yeah.
That's so true.
I'm glad I don't know what you guys are talking about when you say Hillsong Worship.
I'll send you something, Cram. Man. It'll be warm.
You don't have to. It's fine. I promise. You don't.
See, now I feel like we've framed this discussion all wrong. So it's like we've been talking about Christian music, Christian new metal, comparing it to other new metal. We should have been comparing it to like Hillsong Worship stuff. This might be a different talk because this stuff's way better than that. Man.
Hillsong Toxic.
Ooh, really toxic. Really toxic. But that's like, I feel like that's all that Christianity has in terms of youth culture now. That's just it. That's the last. They sacrificed everything to conservatism. And now I don't think young people like are into Christianity at all.
People are now all Orthodox Catholic.
What? Yeah, Catholic's the thing now.
They're all Catholic.
Catholic's the thing now. My family.
Weird Orthodox Catholic.
My family we were all gravitating away from religion. And then my brother married a Catholic and now they are all dedicated Catholics.
I will say Catholicism has a lot of appeal as like a religion that has a lot of objects. And like, I love an object.
Doesn't it also have like more coherent, like moral grounding, right?
That's so
in terms of judging people, absolutely.
So too big a conversation for
this. We're not gonna start that one. Matt Kelly's
I need to leave to go see Evangelion.
You need to leave to go see Evangelion. Oh, enjoy that theater experience. You need to leave to go see Evangelion. Matt Kelly needs to cut the Song of the Summer. Grandfather needs to go to bed or something, right?
Play Final
I need
Fantasy.
To go to bed. Well, I'm going to bed. I'm hungover on a Wednesday. I got a DJ Creed night tomorrow. There's a lot of stuff going on right now.
Oof.
I know. I'm trying to think. It's like, wait, I just got the set times. I'm doing 2 hours. I'm like, I don't know if I like, I don't know if I like 2 hours worth of Creed.
Can you insert other mediocre
butt rock? I'll be playing a lot of. I got Crossfade, Saliva in the chamber. I got Three Doors Down in the chamber.
Call Toag in. Call Devin in.
I hate that motherfucker. I hate him because he wins.
No, you don't.
I hate him because he wins. I hate him because he won. But anyway, yeah, I got to go DJ Creed night. So pray for me, y'all. Pray for me. Topical. But I'd like to thank our guest, Mad Kelly, so much for joining us. Kelly, do you want to tell the people where you're at, what's going on, where they can find you?
You can find me at church. There you can find me, Mad Kelly on TikTok, just Mad Kelly on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and everything else, internet, whichever way.
Everybody's Enemy is the single, the mixtape coming, the album coming, the tour coming. The LA show announcement imminent. If you're hearing this episode, it's already out.
Showing up.
Go peep the video. It's fucking sick.
Video is super sick.
Tell you how awesome I thought it was earlier.
Yeah.
I love it.
And you can find him on Twitter. You can't find him on Twitter.
Fuck no.
I'm telling you that account existed. You had a Twitter account and the bio was, I don't use this website.
Yeah.
You're telling me you don't remember that at all?
I don't know where it's at. I don't know.
Fine. Whatever. Find the man on Instagram. All right. This has been Holiday Kirk with the New Metal Agenda. Thanking you all so much for tuning in, for listening. Make sure to always be supporting, platforming all these new metal bands out here that deserve attention, young and old, like Mad Kelly, like Thousand Foot Crutch, I guess. I'd like to thank my co-host Riviere and Cramfather for making it on, and have yourselves a wonderful rest of your day.